to be.
This is Big Sean.
It's your boy T.I., man.
Hey, what's up? This is Jay-Z.
What's up, man? It's your homeboy T-Pain.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Wale.
It's Tiger Young Money Zone.
It's a little homie Plies, baby.
This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
It's your boy Wiz Khalifa, man.
You know who it is. It's B.O.B.
Hey, yo, this is Eminem.
This is your boy Gucci Mane LaFleur.
Kid 50 Cent.
Hey, what up? It's your boy Darrell Music.
What up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yeah, yeah, what's going on? It's Fat Joe.
Yo, this is your boy Weezy.
Yo, what's up? This is Dr. Dre.
Yo, this is Usher.
It's your boy Drizzy Drake.
Yo, check it out. This is your boy P. Diddy.
You are listening to WFOD, friend to the hip-hop community.
Call the Dub Pod. My name is Mike. I am joined, ladies and gentlemen, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, the Duke of Denim, Old Crafty, ladies and gentlemen, Jaguar Impressive, Coach T. Mr. Travis Hulse is here, everyone.
Good evening.
Travis Hulse, everyone. And guys, special guest from the History Buffs podcast, our good friend Pepper is here. Pepper, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. I got a cold Modelo and a clear mind. Can't wait for this conversation to start.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show. On Skype. And Pepper, boy, do I have a treat for you. Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to Jim Meskimen. He is an actor, a comedian, and an impression man, Travis. Is it weird? I want to have him do all his impressions. Be like, hey, Jim, I want to ask you a question, but like, do it in Bill Cosby's voice, right? That's what you do, right? I mean,
he still does Cosby?
He wants to do. I said Bill. Did I say Bill Cosby? I don't think he does Bill Cosby. Yeah. He does Bill Clinton.
Okay, that's probably about for the best.
Well, I mean, they have similar allegations, I think.
It's true.
There's a lot going on in the world. I wanted to talk to you about. You know, there is something that I really love. I love music lawsuits, but sometimes there isn't a music lawsuit. And so, like, I thought maybe I could just try to get some going. Pepper, do you like the band of Horses? Hey, have you heard Band of Horses?
They're fine.
They're fine.
I know you like them a lot.
I do. I saw Band of Horses live. They opened for somebody. They were the carrot added in, you know, to go see the horse. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Pearl Jam. I think they opened for Pearl Jam, Travis. And I was like, oh, well, if Band of Horses are going to be there, that puts it over the top. I'm going to go now.
Hmm.
They were great.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, Band of Horses, they just put out a new album. I like it a lot. And the first single off of it is a song called In Need of Repair. And I think that it sounds like the Wheel of Fortune theme, but I'm not entirely sure. And I wanted to play you guys clips and see. Does this sound like the Wheel of Fortune theme, Trevor? No, I got Wheel of Fortune here. A little bit?
That one might be a stretch.
It's close. Can you help everybody out real quick?
It doesn't work playing them together. It just sounds like a big mess. What?
Like, what's Band of Horses' like big hit that everybody knows?
For every occasion, I'll be ready for a funeral.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Okay. What are these people? What are these people? Is it a country band? Is it a, what is it?
And Travis, they would play it like on college radio, I would say. It's kind of like a like an indie rock sound. It's not even really like indie rock. It's
like indie folk.
Folk rock?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. It's like
Trampled by Turtles?
Sure.
Yeah, but less bluegrassy and more Kings of Leon.
Oh, sure. With a little Mumford and Sons mixed in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Travis.
So, Mike, if this was the case, who was the who wrote the Wheel of Fortune theme song that would actually be going after this band if they recognized any similarities?
You think that I wrote that down? You put me on the spot to make me look like a fool is what you're doing.
Hey, this is your deal. You were talking about trying to stir the pot.
I mean, somebody made it. Somebody made the Wheel of Fortune theme.
Who is that person?
And like, it's probably their estate because they're probably dead.
Well, at this point, I think that doesn't even matter who fucking wrote it because it's who owns it. I would assume that
who wrote the Wheel of Fortune theme?
Or Lorimar, whatever produces the game show.
Exactly.
Susan,
I would assume it was. How much? Like
oh no, she wrote a book called The Wheel of Fortune. Fucking what's the is it Siri on this piece of shit phone? Siri sent me a book that I can buy on probably Apple Books called The Wheel of Fortune.
That's not what you wanted.
That's not what I wanted.
These computer assistants are real pieces of shit. That's just like my Alexa. Does it? She doesn't know that one pretty much all the time. Sorry, okay. Don't know that one.
Speaking of that, so I opened Reddit the other day, and I use Reddit exclusively for porn. But it also likes to guess other things that I might like, even though I've only used Reddit exclusively for porn. I never used it for anything else. And the other day, I had a big beautiful woman's ass in a video right here, and then directly under it was like police officers executing citizens.
Oh yeah.
And that really took me out of the mood, because if you see a video titled something like that, you got to watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch the injustice, Pepper, and you got to get mad.
So I had to watch that, get upset, and then try to get back in the zone to finish what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I really didn't appreciate that. Why would you guess that that's something that I would like?
Well, I think that's probably for post-climax to make you feel bad about yourself for masturbating to Reddit porn.
Yeah, like you immediately close it down, Travis, and then you're looking for the next thing. You got the shame going. You might as well just take the shame up a little bit more.
Take the shame up immediately on the same browser page.
Like, as soon as you're done, you just feel like a dirty piece of shit, don't you? You just feel like, oh.
I don't.
I'm gross.
I feel much worse using, like, Pornhub or something like that, because those are trapped people who have to do it. And I feel like on Reddit, it's girls that want me to see it. They're putting it out there specifically for me.
Oh,
they're
like, you think
this
that Pornhub like deals in like sex trafficking? Is that what you're saying? Like,
yes.
They're all
yes,
like taken guys' daughters that they put into the Pornhub system.
And then Reddit is real girls that want to entertain me.
Real live girls in your area.
They're probably real live girls that are advertising so that you like DM them and then they like tell you to come meet them somewhere and then they rob you.
They're advertising for their OnlyFans and other gimmicks.
How many OnlyFans subscriptions do you currently have? Either of you, by the way, that's for both. Zero?
I have zero, Travis. I have a hard time justifying that expense. And I probably should, because I mean, you know, it's a big part of my life. You know, I got to get the evil out.
And for content purposes too, you know.
Yeah, and I imagine there's probably some really great stuff on there that I probably should support. But I don't.
It's hard to fit that in the budget, though, right? Like, when if you have like a written budget and your wife like is going through the expenses, trying to figure out where that extra $50 went that month, and it's like, what is this? This OF is like, it's.
And I don't know what that
and
is.
And here's utility. The thing: there's already an issue with like how much I spend every month on Patreon. And that's like, that's supporting like friends and like cool stuff. I can only imagine how much of an issue it would be if it was something like that.
I don't think they're cheap either. They should have like a value tier where like
so there's
just
only
show you
one person that I've ever considered supporting or whatever. It's a girl named Puppy Girl Jenna. Everybody should go check her out. Just give it a look. See if that's what you're into. If you're into it, maybe support her.
But I think I actually talked about this in the last episode I was on.
That's all right.
It's going to be a little weird. But she pretends to be a dog, and she is very beautiful. And she's a cool person, but I could not justify the – I think it was like $20 a month. That's, and then you also have to pay for the videos that she posts.
Oh, yeah. Like,
come on.
So she sends you a message that says, hey, this is the really good stuff.
You subscribe – and I don't know what you get for like the monthly subscription, but any video she puts out, that costs money too. So say it's $20 a month, and then she puts out a new video. That video, you have to pay $5 a month, but you don't even see that video unless you're subscribed.
No, I don't like
well,
this.
Well, that seems – come on. I'm already paying you per month. You got to give me something.
But she's not like special with that. That's how most of them are, and they're making a shit ton of money.
That's like what Disney Plus was doing, Travis. They were like, hey, you – pay for Disney Plus, but if you want to watch Mulan, that's a premium thing, and that's good.
$30. Like, I'm not. No, I didn't subscribe to Disney Plus to purchase pay per views.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Just like Disney Plus.
Exactly like Disney Plus.
Travis, I pulled a political ad, and I don't even remember why I pulled it. So I'm hoping maybe I can play a little bit of it, and we can figure out why I pulled it, because I don't
remember why
the guy's name is J.D. Vance. It's a political ad. I pulled it, but it was like days ago, and I wrote down J.D. Vance.
Vance Refrigeration.
I don't know why. Pepper, do you know who J.D. Vance is? I have no idea who J.D. Vance is.
Sounds like a lovely guy. Let's hear it.
Why did I pull this?
Or girl.
Are you a racist? Do you hate Mexicans? The media calls us racist for wanting to build Trump's wall. They censor us, but it doesn't change the truth. Joe Biden's open border is killing Ohioans, with more illegal drugs and more Democrat voters pouring into this country. This issue is personal. I nearly lost my mother to the poison coming across our border. No child should grow up an orphan. I'm J.D. Vance, and I approve this message because whatever they call us, we will put America first.
Okay, I remember now, Travis.
So let me real quick say, remember. If you're trying to prove your point, did you have to tack on, do you hate Mexicans to that?
Are you racist? Do you hate Mexicans? No, I like the...
Was his mom nearly killed by a Mexican? What the fuck happened to his mom?
I think the Mexicans brought drugs.
All the Pepper. Mexicans... the open borders are killing Ohio.
Yeah, because they're
Ohio. There's a lot of things to kill from Mexico before you even get close to Ohio.
They're bringing the two scourges, Travis. They're bringing criminals and people who vote Democrat. Like the two
and Democratic voters. All these criminals who are transporting drugs into the country, they're like, not this state. Keep going. No.
It's like when they went west.
Isn't this the place they have Skyline Chili?
Stop. Here's the thing. All the people that went west, like, you got to think, like, some people just got tired and ended up in Oklahoma. Like, nobody was like, oh, fuck yeah, we're going to go to Oklahoma. Like, people got tired and was just like, fuck it. This is good enough.
I guess, yeah. This is the end of our journey. We need to, like, plant some crops or some shit.
And that's the same with Ohio. You could make it to New York. New York is that sounds great, you know, anywhere around there. But no, you stopped in Ohio because that you just got tired. You ran out of gas. You got stuck in Ohio, and now you're committing crimes in Ohio as a Mexican.
That's the thing. Nobody should grow up an orphan.
You know what probably happened is like they saw one of those videos where somebody says, we don't even lock our doors here. And they said, ooh, that's a good place to go.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's where I'd go. Like, if I was into, you know, criming, I'd go somewhere where, like, they advertise that they're trusting.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like the place with like security cameras and Ring doorbells and like a Permar security and security. It'd be like, oh, yeah, it's the down home perfect place where you don't lock your doors.
Let me explain to you why you're wrong.
Okay.
Because people who don't lock their doors also heavily believe in the Second Amendment, and you will get your fucking head blown off, and they won't feel bad about it.
That's right, baby.
That, and they know everybody, and they probably know.
We don't lock our doors in Wisconsin.
Yeah,
hello.
They know they don't know you.
Yeah, average amount of firearms that a Wisconsinite owns are probably between 6 and 10.
Yeah,
it's about the same in Mississippi.
I probably should have taken some more notes. Taken more notes, Travis, on why
you're about to be taken.
pulled that J.D. Vance ad, but we figured it out.
Turned out pretty obvious.
It seems like kind of a dickhead, that J.D. Vance. I don't think I'd vote for him. Not you to get political.
Hate Mexicans? Vote for me, J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
You got to admit, there's going to be some people where it's like, are you racist? Like, yeah. Do you hate Mexicans? Definitely.
Uh-huh.
And then that guy's going to be like, this guy's got a lot of good points. I don't want to be an orphan, even though I'm 43 and I've never had sex.
So his mom was a drug addict, apparently, because like the drugs almost killed his mom. I don't know if that was like when he was a kid or if that was just a couple weeks ago.
There's about 20 people you can blame before you even get close to Mexicans when somebody is a drug addict. And I'm assuming it's Ohio.
When someone is a drug addict in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm going to make a wild assumption and say it was probably opiates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to ignore Pfizer. You have to ignore fucking like people who actually sell drugs in Ohio, mm-hmm. and then go down like 18 more people until you get to a Mexican.
Yeah. Dr. Shim Sham, the Walgreens.
My mom bought opiates off the street and didn't just get them prescribed because she was sad.
What do you think JD stands for?
D would be his middle name. So you think like Josh David Vance?
Where's he? Oh, he's in Ohio. I was going to say, where's he? I would say that wouldn't be his middle name. It'd probably be James Duke, James David.
David Vance.
David Duke.
But do you name your kid James David knowing that you're going to call him JD? That happens, right? You like
it could.
I mean, like you name like a Travis James so that you can call him TJ.
Well, it'd be like Travis Jr. That would typically be a TJ.
TJ is a junior?
A lot of times it's junior.
Do you think that his name is David Jr. and they just flipped it? They were racist and they didn't want people to think that like he was an electronic EDM artist?
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
It's not really. I'm just saying things, guys. It's nonsense. It's dumb. It's dumb what we do. This whole thing, it's dumb.
Hey, well, when you talk into a microphone this often, you gotta sometimes you do just have to say things, right?
Right. I mean, like, why is his name JD? Who gives a shit? You know,
who James Davis?
Do I hate Mexicans? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, to be honest, if either one of you hated Mexicans, I really wouldn't care. That doesn't really affect me.
If my mom died of an overdose, who cares?
Yeah,
whatever.
We'd have a really good reason then. We'd be like, my mom died of an overdose. Fucking Mexicans. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you want to hear about the history of the medical industry, it's not an episode that we've done yet, but eventually maybe history buffs. Go check that out. Our next episode, I really don't like promoting the podcast or anything, but I will say our next episode is about the Boston molasses disaster.
The last time you were on the show, Pepper, you said something about you were doing an episode about emus. Never came out. Where the fuck's the emu episode, Pepper?
I'll ask around. I'm pretty sure it did come out, and you're just a bad friend.
That could be it, too. Guys, we're going to go to break. We'll be back with Jim Meskimen in just a minute. If this does work, which it won't, then the precedent will be set that people expect to be paid, and it's actually detrimental to the podcast community.
Right.
Then people are expecting that you give, like, you know, like Hoobastank, Travis, Hoobastank.
I'm a semi-famous person. You've probably heard a couple of my tunes. But now I'm on the Podstars. And boy, do they have a sweet deal for you.
We are new. And this is what we are here to do.
I found a reason to be not on a podcast for free. A reason that never sucks. It's called $20.
Dubfod goes hard.
how many presidential voices can we remember?
For example, there's Barack Obama, who always starts off his sentences very slowly and then wraps them up quickly at the end.
Quite the opposite from George W. Bush. Comes out of the gate real strong and then slowly applies the brakes for emphasis. For that, there's Bill Clinton, who I still think he sounds like he inhaled. And for that was George Bush Sr., future groper. And before him was Ronald Reagan, who would probably tell Trump today that, well, a gentle voice can tear down a wall.
And speaking of a gentle voice, before President Reagan, there was Jimmy Carter.
Before him was Gerald R. Ford, who pardoned Nixon.
You haven't forgotten my voice, have you? I tape recorded it enough.
Prior to President Nixon, there was Lyndon B. Johnson.
And before him was a man simply known as JFK. Which begs the question, which came first, the man or the airport?
Before him was Eisenhower, the president that most resembles Admiral Akbar from Star Wars.
And before him was Harry Truman, and if you don't recognize this voice, maybe you'll recognize me from the front of the dime.
And FDR, whose voice lives in the memory of the people who incessantly watch the History Channel. And by the way, I'm the one who's on the dime, not Harry.
And then before that, there's, there's Herbert Hoover. What does he sound like? Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Hollywood Beat with your inside source, Drunk. This week, Drunk talks to Willem Dafoe about his new film, The Northman, in theaters this Friday.
So, what is The Northman about?
Of course, there's a story. A very complicated story on one level and a very simple story on another level.
I guess that's good. You're not all just walking around. You have lines and stuff.
All the bells and whistles, I arrived and I realized what a large production this is, how muscular, how detailed, how strong it is. There were sheep, there were slaves, there were...
Whoa, wait. Slaves?
They built a town there.
The slaves.
Presence. Once again.
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is an actor, impressionist, and comedian who you'll see in the upcoming Apple TV series The Big Door Prize, as well as the Julia Roberts Watergate show Gaslit, premiering this Sunday on Starz. Guys, Jim Meskimen is on the program. Jim, how's it going, man?
It's good, Travis. Everything's going good. Yeah, as you said, I'm looking forward to seeing Gaslit, which is premiering. They're not dropping the whole season at once. They're just dropping one episode a week like in the old days.
Getting Julia Roberts to do TV, that's a big deal, isn't it, Jim?
It's a big deal, and Sean Penn, too. So the two of them, two Academy Award winners in that show, and a really good cast, and a really interesting story. Watergate era story. I play Senator Gurney, who I didn't really remember Senator Gurney too much. I was around during that time, the Watergate hearings. And, he wasn't this flashy, super interesting character, but I enjoyed playing him. He had a really nice couple of scenes with both of those leads, and you know, I just appreciate being part of an interesting project.
Did you church him up a little bit, Jim? You said he wasn't that interesting or flashy of a character. Did you say to the people who created the show and who either like the showrunner, like, listen, this guy needs a little more pizzazz.
I took him aside. Yeah. I said, you know, there's no reason why this guy can't also eat flames, you know, during during the Watergate game and do bird calls at the same time.
Does your background as an impression guy help you get these historical roles? Because you can kind of.
I don't know. I mean, I audition like everybody else. You know, I'm not a big name actor, so I've still got to go and do these things. But when I studied the character, yeah, I mean, luckily there was extant video of this guy, and I could kind of study his accent and stuff like that. So that's good for verisimilitude. And I've booked jobs as Johnny Carson before several times, which is I think has a lot to do with the fact that I can't get that voice out of my head.
Jim, I'm really excited that we have Pepper here with you this week because you do like every impression in the world, and Pepper only does one, and it sucks. I was hoping maybe you could help him out.
Contest, like, you know.
What makes a good impression? Like, how do you get into doing that? Can you just like hear somebody a couple times and get into it, or?
Well, no. I mean, I think it starts with who do you admire, who do you really enjoy, whose voices, you know. I think. People, you know, they get attracted. It's Christopher Walken, for example, right? It's, you know, a guy that we love to watch him. We don't understand why he talks that way. And so it's attractive. And presidents, we listen to presidents all day long. We have to, you know, they come on the air. Like Joe Biden. Okay, so Joe Biden, for example, you know, I think there's, what did you say? Your name was Trigger? Anyway, come on. The point is, you know, and we kind of give back. It's kind of nice to be able to respond to all these voices that we have to hear. You know, when I was a kid, it was Richard Nixon. Yeah. And lately I've been able to do Richard Nixon's voice for some television shows. And it feels good to be able to give back in that way.
Jim, I was asking Travis, hey, do you think that it's lame to ask an impressionist if he'll do some of his impressions? But we didn't have to ask. He just...
Having a lame old time.
Jim, I heard you do Patrick Stewart the other day, and you knocked it out of the park with Patrick Stewart.
I find I'm very attracted to doing Patrick Stewart because whenever I do, I feel just a little more intelligent, you know, and a little more cultured. And it makes suddenly the world around me just seem a little more pleasant. I don't know why it is. It's some sort of mystical factor, I suppose. But I'm rather keen on doing it. So I'm glad to enjoy it. It feels good to do it.
It probably does. He's really good, Travis.
That's amazing.
You know what they said? Didn't I read something that said that Tom Hanks sometimes doesn't even do Woody from Toy Story? Like he just has his brother.
Is it
do
like
it?
His brother or something? Just
Jim? Did they ever call you to do dub overs that people are too lazy to do because you're just good at it?
Oh, very often, very often, very often. But, yeah, no, that's a big part of my business. I've done that for Colin Firth quite a bit because, you know, Colin Firth is in a lot of films, and when they do the trailers, they don't often, they're not able to get Colin Firth in to do the one or two little lines that will make a really gang-up trailer. So they hire people like me. Robert De Niro, same way, you know, he's too busy. So
Jim,
they get somebody,
I don't know if you're doing a bit or not. Is that real or
no? It's true. It's absolutely true.
Oh.
No, it's absolutely true. I it sounds like a bit, but it's.
So do you just cross,
yeah, every now and then it's just
cross your fingers that these big stars just flake out and that's going to provide more work for you throughout the year. Yeah,
I absolutely do. I want them to be as childish and petulant and unavailable as possible.
Jim shows up
Let's
on the set and he's like,
here. "Let's have some divas, people."
Man, they don't appreciate you enough.
Now, Jim, I've done a very small amount of voice acting, and I was so blown away at how bad I was at it and how hard it actually is to do, especially like voice acting. You think that like, oh, well, I talk every day. I can talk, like we'll figure it out. I can get into character. No. Like listening back, it's horrific. Can you give me like one or three tips to make my voice acting
better?
Write
a book.
Yeah.
One or three. Or three. Those are my choices.
Yeah. Well, you do two. Get the hell out of here, Jim. We want one or three.
Yeah. I think you're being too rough on yourself. Most people don't like to hear their voice played back. Now, since you're in broadcasting, you've probably had ample opportunity to get over that. But you're probably being, it sounds like you're being a little bit self-critical, but I would say that, you know, it's one of these things, it's an art form, you know, and you experiment, you try things and you copy people, and it's kind of a lifetime deal. I have to say, I've been doing this a long time. I know. And a lot of the top guys that I know in voice acting, your Rob Paulsons, your Fred Tatasciores, your Nancy Cartwrights, these people have been doing it literally since they were like nine. So, you know, it's a funny kind of thing. I think work on it all the time. Don't be self-critical. Record yourself a lot and experiment. So that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I said 5 things.
Yeah, wow. Oh, you really sorry. Overperformed there. You
I got blew the bonus. It. You I really bonuses. Blew it. it's fun, and I've been doing it a very long time. I was a kid with a cassette recorder, you know, who would make little shows and go on endlessly and pester my mother and make her listen, you know.
And you kind of are doing a ton of different things. Like, I mean, I see you doing stand up. I see you doing voiceovers and TV shows and movies.
No, I don't
and
do
stuff.
Stand up, but I do. Yeah, I don't really do stand up. I do live performances. I do, you know.
What's the difference, Jimmy? You go up there
theater.
You're standing up and you're talking in a microphone, right?
Well, Mike, when you say the word stand up, you get a lot of people mad. Because stand up comedians don't like people who don't do stand up saying they do stand up.
So you just kind of all encompassingly said, I want to do showbiz like as a whole, right? You just kind of do all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm not a famous guy. I have to make a living all the ways that I can. I do audiobooks. I'm a narrator. You know, I do voiceover. I'm a Colonel Sanders for the KFC brand. And so that's been a real, you know, windfall for me, frankly. And it's a great honor to portray Harlan Sanders. And I hope to do that. There's one job I can't age out of, so I'm happy about that.
You do that like on the radio?
And,
you're the radio Colonel
Sanders?
Yeah, radio
and TV too. Yeah, on TV too. When you don't see the Colonel and you only see his hands, you just see the chicken and you hear the Colonel, that's usually me. Oh.
Do you? I've always wondered, you know, because they took a while where they were giving all of these other actors, you know, what was it, like Norm MacDonald's in there, Jason Alexander, all got a chance to be the Colonel. Like, when you get to be the Colonel, do you get free fried chicken from KFC, Jim?
I personally have never received any free fried chicken, but they've paid me well. I think they can make the leap that with the check they give me, some of that could go to buy me lunch. I think they've got that figured out.
Honestly, Travis, if you were working the drive through and he came over the thing and he's just like, I want a 5-piece, I'd give it to him.
Yeah.
I'll take that new chicken sandwich. I'll take that spicy chicken sandwich on the brioche bun. You know, I've done that. I've actually videotaped that a couple of times. I've gone into the drive-thru, and most of the time, the people, they
don't give a crap.
they're hardworking people. They're minimum wage people, and they don't really give a damn. And they're happy just to serve the chicken. But I invite you and other people to go to my YouTube channel. It's called Jimpressions, and I've got tons of content there. Lots of impressions, lots of goofy stuff, including a lot of deep fake stuff that's really wild. Content that I've created.
That stuff is scary, Jim.
Yeah, it is scary.
It's getting weird.
That's why I do it, because it shows you. You know, people need to know it's out there. It might as well be entertained as they discover the awful truth.
What is the dream job that you haven't gotten yet?
Oh gosh, you know, there's a big script out there. There's a big script with a character like Bryan Cranston would play. You know, something big and sprawling and all over the emotional range. And it's got my name on it, and it's coming down the pike. And that's the one I want. You know,
so it's just kind of out there.
Such a great job.
You'll know when you see it.
I know when I see it, it's going to be the right time and the right place. And you know, we're going to be very happy. It'll be a wonderful test of my abilities, but I've been preparing all my life for something like that. And any actor I know in our age group, we go, oh, that's what I'd like to do, just like that. I do a little Bryan Cranston, too. I'm doing it right now. And, you know, the thing is, you want something to test you, right? But you don't want it to kill you. So it's like, it's like a dangerous drug in that way, I guess.
Well, Jim, Better Call Saul's coming to an end here. The AMC is going to have a big gap in its lineup. I expect that they're going to fill that with a little Jim Meskimen.
The stars are going to... the stars are going to align. Well, thank you from your lips to Amazon's ears.
Guys, Jim Prescience on YouTube, and be sure to check out this Julia Roberts Watergate thing.
It's on Stars.
It's on Stars.
Gaslit. And the Big Door Prize comes out probably in the fall. And that's going to be on Apple. It's going to be a fantastic.
And that's
show.
That's the Schitt's Creek.
You're a streaming king, Jim.
He's the
I'm
king.
I'm a streaming king, man. I'm definitely a streaming king.
Jim,
all right, listen, guys, I got
to
go. But
yeah, man, we appreciate your time.
Like people to look for you besides Jim Prescience on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, on TikTok now. I'm on TikTok. Jim Prescience on TikTok.
Of course,
all kinds
he is.
Of crazy stuff. Yeah, we're just thrashing around there trying to figure out how to do that. So it's pretty fun. I got quite a few followers now.
Jim, perfect. It was cool talking to you, man. We should do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's do it again. I'll call you back.
Appreciate right. it, man.
Thanks, Jim. Care.
He's fucking good, Travis. He's
really good.
I mean, that Patrick Stewart was freaking me out when I was seeing it yesterday. Yeah. I was like, that's really, yeah. really good.
Some yeah. of the presidents went, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Fun fact, Travis, didn't get to bring it up to him, wanted to. Designed the Thundercats.
Designed them?
Hold on. What do you mean designed?
He designed the fucking Thundercats. At a
no,
time,
he, didn't.
He designed fucking cartoon men, made the Thundercats. Lion-O, he fucking Chitara? Drew them. Fucking drew the Thundercats, Travis.
He drew Panther?
The guy can fucking do anything. He's amazing.
Unbelievable. Mumra, yeah. you're pulling my leg, Mike.
Not.
See, and
not.
The reason why I asked, like, the what's your dream role shit is because I think he's the type of dude that, like, that's going to happen to. He's really fucking
talented.
Good.
Good guy, yeah.
And he's fucking in there, too. It's not like he's not doing shit. He's doing fucking everything.
Right.
If you look at his IMDb page, it lasts 45 to 55 minutes of scrolling.
Yeah, he just said, I'm going to do showbiz. He does
all, do
of,
all of it.
I
and then for some reason he was like, yes, I'll do wheelbarrow full of dicks. So I don't know if he makes the best career choices. You know, he seems to just take everything that comes at him.
Right.
But that's how you fucking become
that's what
Breaking
you,
Bad Bryan Cranston.
That's what you do. It's about saying yes, Pepper. That's what you do. You say yes.
Yes, man.
Travis, did you see the people playing the acoustic guitars on the airplane?
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Peppery, the guys. I think a lot of people are making a big deal about the religious part of it, but I think it's just like
nothing to do with the religious.
Yeah,
part
it's just like, you know, people being annoying. And like, I'm annoyed when people are playing their instruments like on subways, and when people yeah. are just like making you listen to their bullshit because you're a captive audience. I hate it.
To be trapped in an airplane yeah. in tight quarters and have these weird folky young people start to do a sing-along right. that you can't escape from. I don't care about whether it was hymnals or whether it was some folky bluegrass bullshit. I do not want to be trapped listening to that shit.
Yeah, listen, I'm kind of the kind of guy who would do this type shit, but I would never do this. Like, I'll break a guitar out at parties and shit. And
for like 10 people that you know,
it.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'll sometimes. No, actually, I don't. Now that I think about it. That was some shit that I did when I was like 18. Maybe to like, you know, try to impress some girls.
Yeah.
Get some hey, music pussies, you know.
I can play this guitar.
Yeah, does. I would never do that now.
Yeah.
And to assume it's a big leap to assume that everybody wants to listen to music. That's almost never the case. It's I would say 100% never the case that true. Everybody there wants to listen to music.
No.
Unless you're at a concert, obviously.
Right. And then don't bring your own
Panda
guitar.
Express,
we want,
you can't assume that all of those people want to listen to music, much less your music.
Maybe like if you go out to bars in Nashville, then you probably want to hear music because all
okay.
of those bars have
sure.
have Nashville.
So what happened on this plane, I'm sure, is some fucking Christian musical group all got on the same flight.
Right.
And they thought it would be fun to make a TikTok video of them playing on the plane.
Right.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
It was something that they did for content, and they thought it would be cute. They thought they would post it and be like, look at us. We're spreading the word of God. All these people are being enriched by our music and all this shit. And they did it. And, you know, it got picked up by the right person, and it got put in a context where it was like, look at these pieces of shit, like raping everybody, like because, in their fucking ears.
Because just, you got to remember, when you go to make your cute TikTok, there's a whole bunch of people around you who also want to make TikToks.
Uh-huh.
And their idea for a TikTok might just be, look at this piece of shit trying to make a TikTok.
The scariest thing about the internet and putting out content is sometimes you don't get to choose your audience.
Right. Sometimes you just get weirdos.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
Sometimes you get assholes who want to talk about what a piece of shit you are.
Yeah.
And sometimes those assholes that want to talk about what a piece of shit you are completely right.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. I've been called out by people. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That was stupid. But other times I've been called out and they were completely wrong. I'm literally just having fun.
Listen, the ultimate point of this is that once your art gets out there, it no longer belongs to you. So whatever it becomes, you have no control over.
Travis, let me ask you a question. Do you have what you would say is like a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about? Like something you saw, something you listened to?
I do have a little something that I would call my pick of the week. It is a Netflix original horror film called Choose or Die.
Choose or Die?
Or Die. So essentially what this thing is these people stumble upon in 1980s text-based computer game called Cursor. That is obviously a horror video game, but it's text-based and it gives you options. You know, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And that's essentially what the game is. But what they don't realize.
So it's like Oregon Trail?
Yeah. So it's very similar.
Is there choices that you can make that you still die?
Pretty much every choice you make, you die. Okay.
So choose die sometimes.
Not you, the choosee, but the people around you. So it starts to affect, obviously, the real world. and the choices seem benign enough at first. But once you choose, the game says, ha, 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 you said you want her to clean up this glass that's broken on the ground. By clean up the glass that's broken on the ground, me, the evil computer game, meant she's going to pick it up, chew it, and swallow it. So, lots of dead people, very, very, very entertaining. You know, for a Netflix original horror flick, I was very surprised. And plus, it's an hour and 26 minutes. So, you know,
it's nice and short.
Nice and short.
Is it always an hour and 26 minutes, or can you make it longer by choosing more?
See, you don't get the choice. That's where you could be confused. You don't actually get to make any decisions. You just have to watch the characters on screen make the decisions and then just kind of go through the repercussions of their decisions. So
I thought you chose. Yeah.
You choose nothing. You can choose to press play or choose to press stop.
Pepper, pick of the week, something you want the people to know about?
Well, real quick, we're all very sad that Drunk isn't here, and I just want to let everybody know that Drunk consults me every week for NASCAR picks.
Oh.
And this past week, he fucking got one, okay? We've had it has been a rough stretch. He'll pick people to win, and they'll get in the top five. Like, he'll have like two guys in the top five, just hasn't got a fucking win yet. He fucking knocked out of the park this week. Kyle Busch backed his way into a fucking win at Bristol on dirt. And this week, guess what? You ever heard of Talladega? the most dangerous fucking racetrack on the fucking planet.
It's dangerous? I didn't know that about Talladega.
Oh my God. It's horrific.
So are the turns tight? Why is it so dangerous?
Don't you remember when Ricky Bobby was on fire and he was running around in his underwear?
Was that at Talladega Nights?
Ever heard of it?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay.
Mike, actually, I have two picks of the week because there is a YouTube documentary about Talladega from a YouTuber called Imp Lemon that is fantastic. It gives a great explanation of how horrific Talladega is. But Imp this Lemon? Week in particular, I have a Imp Lemon, like okay. Emperor Lemon, Imp Lemon.
Oh,
I have a friend of a friend named Richard Garvey that is racing in the Menards Arca series. And I want everybody to fucking hit that dude up and tell him to try not to die and finish first at Talladega. It's big. It's like one of the NASCAR feeder series, but
Talladega, you know, NASCAR's most feared track.
If I can say something, I feel like that is probably one of the nicest things you can do to reach out to somebody in general in all walks of life and just say, hey, try not to die.
Yeah.
It's good advice.
Nobody ever doesn't like that.
Right. I'd appreciate it.
Travis.
Mike, what's your pick of the week?
Try not to die, bud.
Thank you.
Travis, I watched a horror film the other day simply called X.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
And it's a wild ride, Travis, that X.
Ty West.
And I would say X is my pick of the week, but like there's one scene in X where Shia LaBeouf's girlfriend is swimming like in a swamp and she's like swimming back to the dock and there's an alligator swimming behind her like because he wants to eat her.
Of course.
And they have like these overhead shots of this gal swimming to the dock with the alligator chasing her. And it's fucking beautiful, Travis. Like this swamp with the lady swimming and the alligator chasing. So it was like that scene in X, I think, is my pick of the week.
Perfect.
I guess the whole movie is my pick of the week. But specifically that one scene was fucking... It was some of the best. What do you call that? Cinematography, Travis?
Cinematography, yeah. Baby.
Fucking cinematography was amazing.
And if you guys check out X and decide that you like it, check out some of Ty West's older films: The House of the Devil, Sacrament, The Innkeepers. Pretty solid lineup of motion pictures that guy's made.
Travis, Shia LaBeouf's girlfriend doesn't have eyebrows, and I don't like it.
I don't care for that.
Yeah, she like shaved off her eyebrows and it just looks weird. I don't like it.
Did she draw them on at least?
No. No, there's just nothing there. She looks really weird. Like it's off-putting. Ugh. Like you look at it and you're like, why does this bitch not have eyebrows?
It's not normal.
It's weird. You look weird. I mean, I think she's a pretty gal, poor. But you can't
is
really
it
even
alopecia of the eyebrow?
No, I hope I wasn't.
Well, no, alopecia affects the eyebrows.
It affects everything. All of your hair. Does she have a full head of hair?
Oh yeah, but I mean it might be a wig, Travis. Now I feel bad. If it's alopecia and that's why she doesn't have eyebrows, that I take all that back. But if it's like a style choice,
don't slap
Mike's such an asshole.
If it's a style choice, fucking don't shave your eyebrows. It looks weird. I mean that's my firm stance, Travis. My lock of the week is don't shave off your eyebrows.
I can back you on that.
Well, guys, we did it. Jim Meskimen, Jim Prescience, he does them all. He like reads fortune cookies as celebrities. Guy fucking has a million impressions, Travis. He just does all of them. He does all
and
of them.
He just weaves in and out of them, right. Like with zero effort.
Yeah, and we didn't even have to ask him. He just does them.
And I think he gave Pepper some really good advice that next week I hope Pepper comes back and shows off his brand new Barack Obama impression.
You need one or three. Pepper, new impressions next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my name is Barack Obama, and I love droning brown people. I hate them. I use robots to kill them, and it's what we do.
It's good, but it needs a little work.
Listen, welcome to the Dub Pod. My name's Mike, and we're going to end the show now.
Do you hate Mexicans?
Fuck no, I fucking love Mexicans. Dude, I'm drinking Modelo, you piece
of
shit.
Are you racist?
Why would you ask me that? I love cilantro. I mean, name a Mexican thing I like, okay? My favorite F1 driver is a Mexican. I fucking love Mexicans. Never, ever say that again.
As I'm Gil Dannon.
Surprise, motherfucker!
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Please subscribe and leave positive reviews on your preferred podcast player. Share the episode on social media or with one of your in-real-life friends. For links to our ever-expanding universe, including our Discord, our Twitch, and YouTube channels, and our library of back episodes, visit us at WFODshow.com. Thanks to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music used in this podcast. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Valerie, Brian, and Liquid. Visit patreon.com/WFODix to help support the show. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263. Email us Mike or Travis at WFODix.com or reach out on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Me, Zach Morris.
Oh, Ezra Miller has been arrested again in Hawaii.
What did he do this time?
Another more assault.
Why does he keep assaulting people? Tell him to knock it off with the assault.
I don't know. I don't know. Shit. He did some more assaulting in Hawaii. You think that being in Hawaii, that would be the last thing you'd be doing is this assaulting.
You remember Miles Teller got assaulted in Hawaii. I wonder if it was the guy you were talking about.
That's right. Maybe Hawaii is an island of assaults, and I just am not aware of this.
Well, if you ever watch the show with the blonde guy, Dog the Bounty Hunter, you'll know Hawaii is not a paradise.
Is that where he's based out of, is Hawaii?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they deal with a shit ton of meth heads.
I would have swore he was in like Arkansas or some shit.
No, it's Hawaii. Huh. There's an Arkansas everywhere.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
All right.
You know, Travis, there's an Arkansas that lives in our hearts.
I was going to say there's an Arkansas in each and every one of us.
Passengers, we've now reached
reached our destination. We hope you enjoyed the flight and have a nice day.